Welcome to the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up!
With your chance to sound off, give your opinion, and tell us your thoughts. It's on.
It's now.
It's here. It's the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome to the show. I'm Andy 909 on KDXU. Happy Wednesday to you, this 18th day of May. And you know what? I'm not what you would call a country music fan. I like, you know, especially old school country music. But I think it's worth noting on the program that today is George Strait's birthday. And George Strait is from Texas. He loves Texas. He's a Texas guy. And yeah, I like George Strait. I wonder, though, he hasn't retired. You know, the athletes, they have the big deal when they retire and everything. George Strait, 70, he's still out there crooning the old troubadour. George Strait, happy birthday to him. And for you younger set, Jack Johnson's birthday is today as well. He's the guy that sang the You Got a Friend in Me song from Curious George movie, if you have kids that age. I'm Andy, not my birthday, not close. We had it a couple of months ago, but I'm happy to be here today. A couple of things I want to talk about. We had a scheduled guest who begged out at the last minute, and that's fine with me. We have another guest coming up in about 20 minutes, but I've got a couple of things I wanted to talk about. And we'll, of course, take your calls at 435-673-5890, and you're always welcome to text if you don't want to talk on the air at 435-5890. 467-5842. That's my text line. Big event going on this week out there at the Western Sky Aviation Warbird Museum. Jack Hunter has been on the show before. He's came on last week and talked a little bit about this. It's a 2022 Armed Forces Celebration event. It lasts through Saturday. Basically, they open at 9 a.m. Let's see, today and tomorrow till 5, Friday and Sunday till 6, and then Saturday till 4. You'll have a chance to check out some really cool airplanes, some vintage jets, and they have right now over there a B-17 and B-25 bombers from World War II. These things are incredible with the belly gunner and the tail gunner, and just really cool. And Friday and Saturday, as a matter of fact, you'll be able to take a ride in one of those. Not going to be cheap. You'll have to pay for it, but hey, it's worth it. The exhilaration, the feeling you get from riding in one of those is pretty awesome. Anyway, if you want to go to that, again, starts at 9 o'clock every day, basically daytime hours. And then Saturday night, so what a day on Saturday. We've got the BYU Fan Fest right across the street here at Sandtown Park at 10 a.m. There's high school baseball championships. I'm going to be at all afternoon. And then at nighttime, it's the hangar dance, a 1940s-style hangar dance out at the Warbird Museum. They're going to clear the hangar out. We're all going to listen to some live swing band music and have a good time. Love to see you there. I think it's $20 a couple. You just call ahead, or you can pay $25 at the door. If you want to call ahead, call them at 435-229-4985. Also coming up is the premiere, and we rented a whole theater out for the premiere of Top Gun Maverick. That's a week from Saturday. I'll be giving away tickets out to that. And the only way you can get there is to get tickets from somebody here at Cherry Creek, over at B, over at New Country, over at Star, over here, of course, on KDXU, KSUB out of Cedar. We're gonna fill up that theater with fans of Cherry Creek Radio. It's kind of cool. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Elon Musk. It's funny because Elon Musk was not really a favorite of the conservative right. You know, I'm just like, well, you know, whatever. He's a kind of a wild card. He has those electric cars, and we're still not sure about those things. A lot of us think that they're as much or more energy used on electric cars as there are in gas cars, but that's a whole other topic. But Elon Musk became a fan, or became a man that the right really loved, when he went out there and offered to buy Twitter for billions of dollars, 42 of them, as a matter of fact, $42 billion. Not because President Trump got banned, and not because he's a conservative, but because he believes in free speech. He doesn't believe, you know, except for hate speech and in inflammatory speech, he doesn't believe that any speech should be banned. And so he put together a proposal, offered them just a buttload of money, billions and billions of dollars, to buy Twitter. based on the numbers that Twitter provided to him, which is millions and millions of people using Twitter. Well, then Elon Musk, as he got ready to make the purchase, started lining up the financing. He's like, I'd like to know the exact numbers on Twitter. What are the numbers of actual people that use Twitter on a daily basis? Are there a number of what they call bots, people that, you know, companies that have set up artificial means to post on Twitter? And then are there burner accounts or fake accounts where people maybe started one and never used it, or maybe a company has gone through or a politician has gone through and created a bunch of fake accounts to inflate their followers, which is a big deal on Twitter? And that's when things started to get a little dicey. In fact, there were people threatening Musk's life, saying, you can't expose Twitter. You can't make us reveal those numbers. And by the way, Elon Musk, a very transparent guy. He's one of those guys, kind of like Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks. Love him or hate him, these guys are going to tell it like it is. They'll tell you the numbers. They'll tell you everything. They don't care. It's going to be out there. And so Twitter got a little nervous. The folks, the governing board of Twitter and the people that run Twitter got a little nervous. They're like, hey, we don't have to show you all those numbers. And Elon Musk is like, well, yes, you do, because I'm going to buy your company for $42 billion. You've got to show me those numbers. And they're like, well, nah, we don't. We are who we say we are. Have you heard that before? Elon Musk said, look, I'm the guy with the money. I'm the guy with a big, gigantic check that's going to make every one of you stockholders rich. Tell me who's on Twitter, who's really on Twitter. I don't want to know how many people are, how many bots are on Twitter and how many fake accounts there are on Twitter. I want to know the exact number of actual humans that use Twitter on a regular basis. And the Twitter folks are like, well, we'd rather not disclose that information. We just assume, you know, nobody really know those numbers. And Elon Musk, like I said, a transparent guy out there saying, no, what do you mean? All I want to know is what it is it that I am buying. And then the numbers now slowly, a little bit at a time, are starting to leak out. Thousands and in fact, millions of bots, fake accounts where the companies have created little computer programs that artificially either lift the numbers of how many followers their company has, or will post on behalf of the company when they're not actually a person doing any posting. And the numbers kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And one number, a little bit of an anomaly out there, one guy had supposedly a lot of followers, and it didn't seem equitable from what action his account actually got. That guy's name was Joe Biden. Joe Biden has 22.2 million followers on Twitter. That's a lot. You think about how big our country is. That's almost one-tenth of our country follows him on Twitter. I don't, by the way. But that's a big, big number. And Elon Musk wanted to know how many followers he really had. Was that a real number? Are there 22.2 million people, physical human beings with a smartphone, that follow Joe Biden on Twitter? And Twitter was like, well, you know, that's how many are registered there. You know, I can see, you know how the kid kind of, he's in trouble and he starts crossing his legs and twisting his fingers in and out of each other. And so that's kind of how Twitter was. They were very uncomfortable. And finally they said, look, Elon Musk said, look, I got to know, how many people really follow, say, Joe Biden? Well, as it turns out, it's not 22.2 million. In fact, it might not even be 10 million. They did an audit on Joe Biden followers. They're working on an audit for the whole Twitter company on how many followers, this, that, and the other thing. But one of the first results that came out were Joe Biden's followers. And it turns out that at least, And the number actually could be significantly higher, but at least 49.3% of the president's followers are what they called fake followers. Fake followers are defined as accounts that are unreachable and will not see the account tweets. For instance, they are spam bots, propaganda, or they are someone who maybe joined Twitter and then never once posted or just kind of went inactive. So Elon Musk, who's attempting to buy Twitter, is a little bit, what's the word, nervous? It's like, okay, say you go out and buy a car and they tell you that the car has air conditioning, cruise control, power windows, front disc brakes, all the things you want, a backup camera, you know, leather seats, a seat heater so your buns are warm, right? They tell you this. And then the car arrives and they say, yeah, it's got all those things. And you go, well, does it? Can I see those things? And they're like, well, what do you mean see them? Just take it home. It's yours. You bought it. Like, well, no, I haven't bought it yet. What about the leather seats? And they open the door and, ooh, they're vinyl or cloth. Okay, no leather seats. What about the bun warmers, the seat warmers? We were in a hurry to get it through the factory, and those didn't get installed. Sorry about that. Okay, so I'm paying $79,000 for this new truck, and it doesn't have leather seats, and it doesn't have seat warmers. Well, at least it has, you know, a backup camera. About that. The backup camera was installed, sort of. We didn't actually have all the software and hardware to make it work, though. So it's there, but it doesn't work. And at this point, you're going, hey, wait a minute. So I paid for leather seats, and I paid for, the seat warmers, and I paid for the backup camera, and they're not there. I'm starting to think maybe I shouldn't pay so much for this truck. And say, what else? And they're like, what do you mean, what else? It's everything's there. Everything's fine. Okay. How about the cruise control and the power windows? Well, you know, the cruise control, we actually ordered that. And it was supposed to be on there, but a little snafu there, a little screw up in production. The cruise control didn't actually get installed. But what we can do is we can give you the cruise control and you can have it installed later, perhaps. And you're like, wait, so there's no cruise? Well, we have it. We just haven't, you know, installed it. It doesn't actually, you know, work yet. Okay, power windows. Well, you know, power is a relative word. You know, if you have one of them little things and you move your arm in a circular motion, you can power that window down pretty quickly. Wait, so there's no power window? Well, it has, you can roll down the windows with your hands. Well, that's manual. Technically that's manual, but you could power it down pretty quickly. You go through the drive-thru, you have that thing down in no time. You'll be able to get your burrito or whatever. You know, so Elon Musk is finding that Twitter, like us with this truck, is not what it appears to be. And right now, Twitter's got egg on its face. You've got this $79,000 truck that has a few options on it that didn't show up or are not representative of what they are supposed to be. They're telling you their power this, power that. It's not there. And so Elon Musk and company, they're just kind of like, yeah, let's hold off on this sale because I'd really like to know what it is I'm buying. Now, in talking with some of my friends in the business, they said they have told me they think Elon Musk will actually still buy Twitter, but he's not going to pay $42 billion for it. If you, with Twitter, and this is a unique thing, obviously this has never happened before, but with Twitter, if you have a company representing of itself as having a certain million number of users and people that are on a daily basis, checking Twitter, tweeting, talking about whatever, freedom of speech, all that stuff. And the number is half or less of what they actually represent and what they are. That will make the buyer, what does it say, buyer beware? That will make the buyer be aware that something's not right. Musk has a lot of money. Musk is not a dummy. Elon Musk knows that he's paying a lot of money to try to help ensure freedom of speech. And if the freedom of speech is misrepresented, if Twitter is not what it appears to be, if it's, say, half or less of what it claims to be, he's not going to pay that money. And I don't blame him. And I wouldn't pay that money for that truck, for the, you know, the heated seats and the power and mirrors and the backup camera and, you know, the tow package, when they don't actually exist on the truck. Why should he pay that much? So it's going to be interesting, and we're right in the middle of it now. Musk hasn't made a counteroffer. They're still in the investigative process of finding, all right, how many of these users are actual human users. And when they figure that out, I'm about 90% sure there's going to be a counteroffer by Musk himself. He's going to counter himself. He's going to say, look, you said you were this, you're not, you're this. I'm going to give you, say, it's still going to be money that boggles my mind. It's still going to be $20 billion or something like that. But it's not going to be $42 billion because Twitter is a bunch of, for lack of a better word, they're a bunch of liars. It's not true. They've been lying to us. And if Twitter can fudge the truth about how many users they are, based on a little grain of the truth, well, we have bots that make it that high, or whatever, or fake followers that make it that high. Who's to say Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whoever else? We keep getting these numbers from these companies that they release themselves. Is any of it true? I don't think it is. I think they're lying to us. And, you know, of course the money is there. Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, all these guys have a ton of money. But maybe their whole empire is built on lies and misrepresentations. You know, he was going to give all these people $42 billion to buy Twitter. Every shareholder was going to get rich. And they're probably, you know, licking their chops and rubbing their fingers together and going, I'm about to get rich. And Twitter's a big lie. It's a big lie. And I'm going to get rich. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. All right. It is 9:26 on KDXU. We'll take some phone calls in a little while. Also, Brett Pruitt and Rowdy himself are going to join me on the program. We talk about some gun safety issues, especially since it's a suicide awareness week, what we need to do with our guns to help keep our loved ones safe. All that's coming up after this break.
Compelling guests, hot topics, the latest news. Always on the Andy Griffin Show.
Is there a juicy part in it for me?
Right here on News Radio 890. 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. 9:31 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in today to the program. I'm seeing that white. Next time you're thinking about spending $42 billion on Twitter, you maybe want to check the fine print, because that's what Elon Musk is going through right now. Turns out maybe half the people that use Twitter are not real people.
Yeah, it's called due diligence.
That's right. Or buyer beware. Yes. Anyway, thanks for listening today. We've got a couple of guests in the studio now. Brett Pruitt, actually Third Wednesday, always joins me, and we talk guns. And,
absolutely.
Have a Hello. Nice time. And he brought with him a friend, hopefully you guys probably know who this is.
Let's go easy on the word friend there. Sorry.
That's not really a word we throw around.
Rowdy Reeve is here. Rowdy, thanks for coming in today, man. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to finally sit at the cool kids table.
Rowdy's Range is named after somebody, and I'm assuming that would be you.
Yeah, yes. I was going to think of something really witty to say, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
We figured if it failed as a range, we could turn it into an adult movie store or something like that and keep the same name.
So. People will pick at you. they'll sit in Elder Scrum and think of ways to pick at you.
That's okay.
Or ways to come in, whatever.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
Either way. Rowdy's Range, located over there on 610 Industrial Drive, and I have become a fan over the last, how long has it been, Brett? We've been a year or so. We've been hanging out together. So, of course, they have the climate-controlled range where you can shoot. I think, and I talked about this a few times during my AG-approved, I love the fact that you guys have, like, a wall full of guns that people can go and try and see if they like it. If they like it, you know, I mean, that's kind of how I bought my gun. I went in and tried three or four different guns. I found the one that felt the best to me.
Yep.
And I bought one, and that way you don't have to go in. I heard that this gun is good. Well, do you want to hold it? Well, no, I just heard it was good, and I'm going to buy it.
So. Yeah, or somebody wrote in a magazine that this gun is the best gun ever, and their hands are totally different size than yours, and they have different requirements. So it's been a lifesaver for a lot of people as far as purchasing a gun, because especially someone who's never shot guns, they read an article.
Yeah.
This gun's the best. They come in, we let them shoot it on the range, and they think it's the worst thing ever invented. They hate it. And we give them a different gun, and they go in, and that's the one they fall in love with. So it's been a good thing. A gun is a significant investment for most people, and the worst thing is to buy a gun and then regret it 2 weeks later.
True. My first handgun, I actually traded a shotgun and some cash with my son to get a Taurus 9mm. Honestly, the handle was too short for me. I actually bought an extended magazine to make it feel a little bit better. But it was, I didn't ever feel comfortable. It wasn't until I got that Glock from you that I started to feel a lot more comfortable with how I held the gun and how it felt in my hands. So definitely important, definitely important. A couple of things in the news. First of all, it's kind of been the Suicide Prevention Week on the Andy Griffin Show. It's not officially the Suicide Prevention Week. And we want to talk a little bit about suicide prevention and firearms. We'll get to that in a minute, but how could we not talk about what happened this weekend up in New York, in Buffalo, New York, with the hate crime, the guy going crazy and killing, I think 10 people died from that mass shooting up in New York. You know, obviously he used a gun, and now, and right away you have all the anti-gun people going, well, you know, if there weren't guns, that never would have happened. And just, I mean, we've talked about it many times, Brett, but maybe you and Rowdy can talk about a little bit about the gun didn't kill anybody. The person holding the gun did.
Yeah, the it's a sad state of affairs in this day and age when somebody buying bread and milk and eggs for to feed their family or feed their neighbors has to worry about getting shot in a grocery store.
It's true.
And the ideology that enabled the shooter to think that was acceptable, it's obviously false.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two ways about it. Not only is it obviously false, it's repugnant.
Yeah.
On its very face.
Sickening, yes, for sure.
So you have to be in a deep, dark place to even attempt to understand that kind of ideology. But going beyond that, yes, the gun banners will say that the gun enabled him to do what he did. And again, a gun is just a tool. He could have driven a car through a crowd of people and probably done more damage.
And that's happened for sure.
Yes, it certainly has. So go ahead, Rodney. I mean,
I'm in awe at this right now. I'm just watching you guys interact. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's about mindset. And like Brett said, it's just a tool. A firearm is just a tool in your hand, and it's no different than a hammer, a screwdriver, a knife, a car, you talked about.
One of the frustrating things, guys, is that in this particular instance, it seemed like all the rules were followed. They did a background check so he could get the gun. He was evaluated mentally a year ago or whatever it was. And whoever it was said, well, we don't feel like he's a threat. And they you know, didn't put any kind of red flags anywhere. So I think that's the frustrating part is we missed this one.
You know. We did, and I think it's because government services are understaffed, underfunded, and not it's not recognized that they're needed. They're mm-hmm. sending cops to calls that don't require cops. You can have an officer there for safety, but if somebody's in a mental health crisis, mm-hmm. they need a mental health expert, not a police officer. Police officers are not mental health experts. And so if you have someone who's in a mental health crisis, why is it the state police who's saying, he's not a threat? Shouldn't it be a mental health expert
Absolutely.
Who says this person is or is not a threat?
And we expect so much of our law enforcement officers. You're supposed to be a mental expert, yeah. Mr. Police Officer.
Right, yeah.
And that's tough. And I think that's what makes being a police officer such a hard job and why I don't know how the world feels. I know some places in the world don't feel so great about it, but I've always had the utmost respect for these men and women that do that every single day. I don't know. I couldn't do it. So, and that actually leads us right into our other topic today, and that's suicide. The statistic is out there, and I don't know if it's completely, you know, where it comes from exactly, but I feel like it's probably pretty accurate that the first 15 minutes when someone has suicidal thoughts are the key minutes before they kind of come to themselves and cool down a little bit. And that being said, that means that if they have access to a firearm that quickly, that easily, they're more likely to commit suicide. And I know, Rowdy, you're kind of, hopefully, you're a little bit of an expert on this and can help us out a little bit. That being said, are there some things that we could or maybe even should be doing when it comes to suicide prevention and firearms?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot that we could do. It's interesting, though, because, and Brett, you can help me out with this, but on the range, like if Brett were out teaching a firearms class, at the end of the class or during the class, at some point during this live fire firearms class, he would probably bring up safe storage of a firearm. Mm-hmm. When you're off the range, make sure your firearm's unloaded. And when you get home, lock it up, keep it out of the reach of children. That same curriculum doesn't change when I talk to people about suicide prevention. If you're carrying a firearm, for personal protection, when you get home, if you have somebody in the house that's maybe struggling with mental illness or not, if it's just something you get home, you lock up your firearms. But the mindset between the two different things, like I've been on the range with Brett and we've talked with students about that very thing. And it's like, hey, you need to lock up your firearms when you get home, keep them out of the reach of kids. And they're like, yeah, that just makes total sense. If I'm in a suicide prevention class and I bring that up and I'm like, okay, we need to talk about, we go over the statistics, we go over what, and now we talk about safe storage. They're like, no.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Oh, that would never happen in my house.
Right.
No way. No, not, I don't know anybody that would do that. Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of the attitude, right?
Right. But it's literally the same curriculum, same exact curriculum. It's just.
Yeah. And unfortunately that, oh, it wouldn't happen here mindset is what happens to enable someone to get gain access to the firearm. I carry a firearm every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I use firearms on a daily basis. I'm around them all the time. When I'm at home and my children are around and I don't need immediate access to it, it's locked up. You know, we had a birthday party for my son this past weekend. A lot of kids over at the house. All the guns in the house are locked up.
And someone might say, well, you know, I keep them back in the closet and behind in the bedroom. The kids wouldn't go in there. Shouldn't go in there anyway.
Put a cookie jar on top of the refrigerator and see if your kid can't get in there and get a cookie. You see what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, it won't happen here or it's hidden. Look, kids by nature are curious. They go exploring. They find things. And unfortunately, with children, it's one of two things. They're curious, they don't know any better, and a horrible accident happens. Or they are in a mental health crisis. And like you said, most mental health crises are very short-lived.
Yeah.
If that person can get help, typically they go on to live a very productive life. Suicide is not an issue. They get the counseling they need. And unfortunately, with suicide, the statistic that I don't like, but it's there, and we can't work our way around it. 80% of suicides are committed with firearms.
Especially males.
And so if you remove access to the method that's used 80% of the time, we can automatically reduce suicides. A lot of people think, suicidal folks have marinated on this for 8, mm-hmm. 9, 10 years. And help me out with this, right? It's typically a sudden event. They decide, this is it. I'm done.
Yeah, typically for what we're seeing with the research, and I don't want to be that guy that's like, well, research says this. But, yeah, you can have a plan, a way that you're going to do it for a month, a year, 2 years. But it would be – it. I think the statistic that I read lately is there's a 10-minute window
okay.
that says right now is the time that I'm going to do it. Just a 10-minute window. And but the statistic always also says that it only takes a fraction of a second to break that mindset.
Okay.
So it could be anything. Somebody saying, hey, could be saying, hey, what are you doing? How are you? And it breaks that mindset. But going back to what you said before, I'm going to throw out another statistic, but Brett's 100% right. If somebody's going through a crisis and or crises.
Crises is plural.
Crises. I miss working with Brett because he always corrects me. But if somebody gets the help that they need, whatever help that is, professional help, the statistic is 97% of people that get the help they need won't go on to follow through with the suicidal ideation.
And it could be as simple as we're running a commercial right now. Instead of saying, how you doing, saying, hey, how are you? And actually talking to someone. That simple little thing right there could make all the difference. I had a friend of mine whose mother passed away the other day. I didn't know this. I saw him, and I just walking by, I could tell something was different about his demeanor. And I'm not a super perceptive guy. I'm not Mr. Sensitive walking around looking for people that are hurting. But I could tell something was not quite right with him. So I just stopped and said, hey, everything okay? You know, everything all right? And we talked. And he wasn't suicidal. He wasn't going through a mental crisis, but he did need to talk. You know, he's in town visiting, and there was nobody to talk to for him. And so it was a big deal. That kind of thing is so simple and so easy. And as we talk about suicide prevention and talk about those crises, you know, the first 10 or 15 minutes absolutely can change. You know, there's a song, the words are, if I'd have known how to save a life. You know the song I'm talking about?
I don't.
I'm not going to sing, but you do know how to save a life. When it comes to suicide, all of us know how to save a life, and that's just being a little bit sensitive. And it's funny, three gun guys here talking about being sensitive, but it's the truth.
Yep.
It's the truth. Yeah. So, all right, let's take a phone call. Hey, thanks for calling into the program today. You're on with Rowdy, with Brent and Andy. What's up?
Maybe this isn't the right place or time to call about this, but part of the problem, I believe, with suicide is when you're talking about getting help, and I wholeheartedly agree, but a few months ago, my son was feeling suicidal and took himself to the IHCER mm-hmm. up in Provo, and for a few hours stay, he visited with the doctor, maybe 10 minutes, social worker, probably 15 minutes, and that was what did him the most good. He was billed over $3,000, and 500 of that was for the 10 minutes the doctor talked to him.
Wow.
And he's still paying that. And my question is, do you think he's going to want to go back again and get help from an ER when he's facing that kind of cost? That just burned me up. So yeah. I thought I'd share.
I appreciate that. That's actually a great point. And you know, I was talking with some friends of mine a minute ago about the shading, that I call it shading. The maybe jading is a better word in the medical industry right now. You don't want to, honestly. How many times, Brett and Rowdy, have you guys done this? This hurts, or maybe I should go get this looked at. Well, it's going to cost me at least a $75 copay, or it's going to cost me, if it's something serious, it's going to cost me my whole copay for the year, like $6,000.
Yep.
Well, maybe I'll just toughen out. Maybe I'll just, you know, because I don't want to have to pay that.
Access to needed resources, access to needed care is a huge problem. We see it with drug addicts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Inpatient drug rehabilitation.
It's expensive.
Not only is it expensive, go find an open bed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're not available.
Good point.
And so you've got drug addicts who want to get clean, who don't have access to the means they need to get off of it. And it's no different in the mental health world.
True.
The access to mental health services, I mean, you're in it. It's it's hard to deal with what.
No, I 100%, and I feel for this young man that just called in. I mean, that's not the first time I've heard something similar. It is, it's a problem, and I know that there are certain places that are trying to figure out a way to overcome that as far as state funding, grants, things like that. But, I don't think at right now at this point there's no easy answer to that, and it's unfortunate, and I feel bad. That's horrible.
I will throw out this. Right now there's a talk line, 1-800-273-TALK. If it's an urgent care thing, especially like if you're really feeling like, man, I got nowhere to turn, they will talk. And I know that's not an easy one to remember, 1-800-273-TALK. On July 16th, so what, 2 months from now, 988 is going to be like 911. Yep. It's 988 will be the suicide hotline in the United States of America, and you can call 24/7. And they've actually, somebody was saying, why did they take so long to roll that out? And I'm like, well, you don't want to call and have Joe Schmo talk to you about your, you know, wanting to take your life. You want to have a trained professional, someone who is ready and to deal with this type of situation to talk to. And that's really why it actually took a few months instead of just a few days to roll that out. They want to have people ready,
which makes sense. So, I think the last thing that, like you said, the last thing that you want to do is call a line and have some inexperienced person be like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, good luck, you know. That's a horrible thing to do. And if I could do a plug real quick on the state's just rolling out a Live On
campaign. LiveOnUtah.org.
LiveOnUtah.org, and they are addressing all that stuff. I was on their website yesterday with somebody, and there's contact area, and they're trying to get that to where it's free. You can get on there and talk to somebody. So they're trying.
My brother committed suicide. I've talked about it before on this show, and he used a firearm. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I felt it was important to have you guys on and talk about this a little bit. And the access, maybe if you can slow that down just a few minutes, you know. Unfortunately, my brother was pretty determined because he actually took a crowbar and dug a firearm out of a wall so that he could do it. So the 15 minutes didn't quite apply there, but still, definitely a topic that's very important to me. Let's go back to the phone line. Hey, thanks for calling. What's up?
Good morning. This is June Schneider, and hi, Robbie. I've met you. I'm one of the instructors, and Brett. Hi, Brett.
Hi, June.
I teach a safety course there, but I might point out that my dad committed suicide with a shotgun. Mm. That was not, you know, a lot of times men are, they don't want to, I damage their manhood by telling people they need things. And I think wives and girlfriends and daughters need to learn to listen to their dad. And many times us women, we tend to talk too much. We talk to them all the time. Well, we're not listening to them. So listening to them is critical. Just close your mouth and listen. And besides that, then the safety course is coming up Saturday. And your store does a wonderful thing, Brett, where they, if you buy a gun there, you get a free safety course with me. And even if you don't, it's only $25, and it's worth every penny. So if you are interested, Saturday is at 1?
No, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock is a safety course, and it's offered every month. But there's so many simple things you can do. I'm a woman, and I've been a shooter for 10 years, but people think they're so dangerous, but there's simple things you can do to avoid having anybody ever hurt with a gun. So I'd encourage people to show up. So keep it up, you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, June.
Thanks, June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. My wife was one of those women who were kind of afraid of guns because she had never touched one in her life. And she just thought, you know, well, if you bump into it, it's going to go off and people are going to die. And that's not how it works. Yeah. And she learned that. And now my wife is very comfortable.
Good.
And she understands guns. And we took three or four classes over there at Firearms University. So I've got to get a commercial break in. We're running out of time. Let's do this, though. Rowdy has generously offered to, and you didn't pay for it yourself, right? The government helped pay for this. But a gun safe for one gun, right?
Yep.
Individual gun safe. It's a biometric one, which means you can use your finger, yep, fingerprint, and access it. And we're giving one away today. If you want to call 673-5890 right now, I think what we'll do is we'll take your call off the air while the commercial plays. But we'd love to give this gun safe away. 673-5890. We'll take caller number four and get this commercial break in. More with Rowdy and Brewitt on the Andy Griffin Show after this. Welcome back. Running short on time. Got about 2.5, 3 minutes left in the program. Rowdy Reeve is here. No relation to Christopher Reeve, Superman.
Nope.
Well, at least we don't know, right?
No, maybe that I'm aware of. Yeah, yeah.
And I called him Brewitt for whatever reason. Brett Pruitt. That's kind of like the Bradgelina kind of thing, yeah, combining, yeah, things.
I'm in love with myself.
Anyway, Brett Pruitt is here, too, from Rowdy's, and we were able to give away that gun safe to Colby Smith. It's a individual-sized one with a biometrics. You can open it with your fingerprint. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rowdy, for making that available to
me. Thanks to Rowdy's as well for offering it.
The first 15 minutes are key when it comes to someone who's having suicidal thoughts. If you can get them past those first 15 minutes. And that's why it's important to have, if you're not using your guns, have them locked away safely. We talked about, besides suicide prevention, also, you know, worrying about the kids. I know I have a little 1.5-year-old grandkids, and if I just stick my gun in my drawer in my bedroom, well, they're not supposed to go in the bedroom. Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never going to go in there.
Not supposed to get a cookie out of the cookie jar either.
And then also wanted to talk about, what was the other thing we were going to talk about before we went? Demographics. Males age 40 to 49.
Yep.
These are guys established in life. They probably have a pretty good job they've had for a while, mm-hmm, maybe married, maybe divorced, got a couple of kids. Those are not guys that commit suicide, right? Well, actually, that's the number one demographic in America, males age 40 to 49. I know we're short on time. Guys, any thoughts on why?
I would say that it's just the biggest reason, I think, is just because we're taught, middle-aged men, we're taught at an early age, hey, don't talk about what you're going through. Hmm. Keep it all down, and so we need to kind of get rid of that stigma and start talking about it, whatever that looks like, whether you're talking to your friend or you're talking to a professional, whatever that looks like to you. You just have to talk about what you're going through.
Coach used to tell me I was soft, though, if I talked about how I feel. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, right?
Just the opposite.
That's a big thing in the veteran community. Yep. Mm-hmm. A lot of veterans just won't ask for help because they're soldiers, they're Marines, they're tough.
Yep.
And that's a stigma that they're fighting dramatically in the veteran community. So
yeah, we had a veteran on Monday, and he talked about that. You see something pretty traumatic, you put it in a box because you got a job to do. Mm-hmm. Later on, you have to open up that box, and that's when things really go from yep, bad to worse. So
yeah,
guys, sorry about that, we ran out of time already. So great to have you on. Yeah. Brett Pruitt, Rowdy's Reigns, and the Rowdy himself here, Rowdy Reeve.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
And again, 1-800-273-TALK is the phone number. Time now for news.